We are in Bible study in the book of Judges, and we are in chapter 15. Chapter 15 is about Samson and the Philistines, battling the Philistines. There we go, Samson and the Philistines. Famous story of the jawbone and the setting the fire. Mm-hmm. So let's look back a little bit. Introduction. We're looking at the back of the scripture page. Back in Judges chapter 2, we have a summary of what's going on throughout the whole book of Judges. It says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation after them arose who did not know the Lord, nor the work that he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers." So a common problem, another generation arises and said, those old ideas that the parents had, you know, we've got some better ideas. It's time to move on, become updated. And besides, some of these God things are inconvenient. So, they served the Baals and the Asherahs. And then that started a cycle which God would become angry with them and allow an enemy to rise up, either within Canaan or without. For instance, Gideon had to deal with the Midianites, mm-hmm. but they were coming in mm-hmm. and raiding and destroying and then mm-hmm. leaving off. And they'd come in with all their camels, and the people would cry out to God, and God would... and then they repent for mm-hmm. their sins, mm-hmm. and then God would provide a deliverer. Mm-hmm. And then he would conquer them and sort of rule over them, and that he would be called a judge. Mm-hmm. And so that cycle continued for several times. We went through mm-hmm. Gideon and Deborah, a few other judges. Mm-hmm. And then we come to chapter 13. And we start the background of Samson. In 13:1 it says, "Again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Here we have a break in cycle, because there is no crying out to God for deliverance, right. No repentance from sin. And 40 years, this is the longest time yet. And what has happened is they have accepted their situation. They've adapted. And when God does send them a deliverer, they're irritated. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for somebody.
Yeah.
But God raises up somebody anyway. And in chapter 13, we have the story of the angel coming to Manoah's wife mm-hmm. and telling her, "You're going to raise up a son. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth. Yeah. And he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So this is Samson's mission, is not to completely deliver, but to begin to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
The Philistines are... one of the sea people. They're mm-hmm. not native to the Canaan land.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually from up in the northern part of Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Here's the Mediterranean. Here's the Atlantic Ocean, yeah. Gibraltar, Italy, Sicily. Mm-hmm. And trade's going on all the way in the Greek area, Aegean Sea, all the way mm-hmm. to Sicily, even over here to Sidonia. Mm-hmm. We've got the Crete, Cyprus, mm-hmm. even into the Black Sea, down to Egypt. All these areas are trading with each other. And then this whole area, which is later on called the Bronze Age, this whole thing is collapsing, and part of that is these sea people migrating and raiding, and some of them end up over here in Israel and establish a foothold on mm-hmm. the coast. Mm-hmm. And increasingly they push into mm-hmm. Israel's land, and at the time of here they've actually gotten control of much of this, at least the southern part of, mm-hmm. of Israel.
Yeah.
And that's the situation we're coming into, and God is trying to stir this whole situation up there because He does not want peace in the Middle East.
Yeah.
This kind of peace where you accept the there's the questions there, and the verses are down.
They're on that on
the stool right there
behind you. Yeah.
So also in chapter 13, the woman, Samson's mother, bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan, that is the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. We're on the back part of this in the big box. That's the introduction area. So, Samson is of the tribe of Dan, and we see that he is in the camp of Dan. We ran into camp of Dan in the desert. There were each tribe had a camp, and then they had a certain order in marching and in setting up around when they were encamped around the tabernacle, mm-hmm. and that was camping.
Yeah.
40 years, and here we are. They're still in a camp. Because they did not have a homeland. They were assigned one, but...
They didn't take their land.
Right. And so back in Judges 1, which is another box on that page, mm-hmm. and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dan had trouble from the beginning, and then the Philistines... were there with mm-hmm. the Amorites, or replacing the Amorites, and they, there were other tribes that had difficulties taking the land too,
yeah.
and Dan particularly never found a home, and they will be looking for a home, and that's for a later chapter.
Yeah, they'll move north. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Whether that has already happened as a mass or not, we don't know, but that's for chapter 18.
Right.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But at this point, the Spirit of the Lord begins to move on Samson in the camp of Dan, which is near the border of Judah, just north of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So Samson will have an effect on Dan and Judah,
mm-hmm.
which is the southern part of Israel.
Yeah.
In chapter 14... we have this odd tale of Samson wanting a Philistine wife and telling his father to go fetch her, go get her for me, go arrange this marriage. And that, this was last week's lesson, that worked out rather poorly.
Yes.
Because Samson posed a riddle with a big bet on it. And the riddle wasn't fair because it involved personal history,
right?
Not something
that everybody would know.
Yeah, well, you know, if you really think about it, well, that's the wind, or that's darkness, or you know. But no, it wasn't a fair riddle. It had to do with this lion and the honey.
Mm-hmm.
They pestered his bride to get the answer out of him.
Yeah.
It was quite a threat. We're going to burn you up and your father if you don't find this out. So, don't you love me, Samson? And so he finally tells her the story, and the men come back and give him the answer to the riddle.
Yeah.
And he knows what's happened. And so to meet his part of the bet, to provide all these clothing, this 30, he goes off to
Escalon.
Escalon. No. Ascalon.
Ascalon.
Yeah. And he finds 30 men at random and kills them, takes their clothes, brings them back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's mad.
Yes.
And he storms off. And so the end of chapter 14. So now we're on the front page if you're reading on the verses. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Well, what a deal. Samson's back home. He doesn't know this.
Yeah.
And that's the situation when we come into chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're reading this version of it, it starts off with burning anger. And we'll find a bunch of burning in there.
Yeah.
So God is already with him?
Yes. God has been with
him. Kills 30 men?
God has been with him from birth. And the Spirit of God has been on him in some ways before this incident. And God is with him even as he's making foolish, immoral choices. And what's happening is that the other side, Judges 14:4, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So God is seeking an occasion to stir things up because he does not want peace with Israel and the Philistines.
Yeah, because they weren't supposed to be together as a people. The Philistines were supposed to be driven out of the land, and Israel did not obey. They made peace with them. And kind of the cultures have kind of merged with one another, and so God's trying to break this union up because they're not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like this.
You might know from other Bible stories what else happens with the Philistines. We're going to have Saul and David fighting the Philistines. This is the lead up to that, to stir the situation up so these two groups are not just merging, and Israel does not just accept being absorbed into the Philistine culture and lose their relationship with God.
Yeah. So it all comes down to God doing this to fix a situation that Israel created.
After a while, verse 1, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room." But her father would not permit him to go. Her father said, "I really thought you had hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Hey, is not her younger sister better than she? Please, take her instead." Well, what do you think of that situation? How's that read?
Well, you've got a lot of things there. First of all, you have, I mean, this whole thing about, hey, you know, take her sister. I mean, this is something you see in stories. But the other thing about it is that it was not allowed to go into the daughter's room. Only the father could go in there.
You could be killed for going into a woman's room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've got
that. Don't do that.
But then again, there's this weird thing.
But he thinks it's his woman,
right?
His
right.
wife.
Yeah. But then he brings this gift to her, you know, of a goat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't translate.
Not flowers.
But back then, you know, this
was more useful than flowers.
That's right.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, this was a gift of reconciliation. But this was also a gift that you would give to, like, a concubine.
Okay, so she's a wife, not a concubine, but it looks like that in-between area where it isn't a wife you take home, it is a wife you visit.
Yeah.
So it's a visiting husband situation.
Exactly.
Which
is
still exists in the Middle East in some places today.
Right.
So he's acting like a visiting husband, and he thinks, so what are Samson's expectations here?
Well, he's expecting to be able to see her and that he can just walk in.
Yeah, he's hoping to make up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And consummate the marriage, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go into the bedroom.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what assumptions are made besides that?
That he's going to be able to do this and everything will be okay.
Okay, that...
And he's still married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else has assumptions? The father of the bride has assumptions, which he states right here. I really thought that you thoroughly hated her.
Oh, okay.
The assumption is, you're not coming back.
Right. Therefore, I gave her away.
Therefore, I gave her away.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all set up for a wedding. Hey, best man, would you fill in here? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and we find a lot of situations in families, business, church, everywhere, built around assumptions. We mm-hmm. don't talk. We just assume.
Mm-hmm.
And big mess.
Assuming he stole this goat or something.
Well, it doesn't say.
No.
It doesn't say.
No, but that is a common thing you would bring for as a visiting husband. Not something too cheap. That would be insulting. Not something overdoing. Yeah. Oh, and then, they might eat it together.
Uh-huh. See, because also, livestock were considered wealth also.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see stories about people that have lots of livestock, it was that meant that they were wealthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, in verse 3, Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turning the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. The Philistines said, "Who has done this?" Wow, big deal. Now, you notice that Samson's mad at his father-in-law. But he seems to lump all the Philistines together.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm mad at these guys at the bachelor party, I'm going to go down over here and kill 30 and do it.
Yeah,
and now he's mad at his father-in-law, but he doesn't take it out on his father-in-law. He burns down all the crops.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Philistine gods, whatever they think, Dagon and whatever,
yeah,
they're helpless against Samson. And that's part of what God does to embarrass the God worship of mm-hmm. the enemy. And so what was Samson's justification for harming the Philistines?
Well, like, you know, you deny me my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm gonna take it out on all these people. You know, he's mad.
Yeah,
he's
revenge.
Mad. I did not get my way.
You hurt me, I'll hurt you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what harm did he do?
Well, he burned all these crops. I mean, this is going to really, it's going to hurt them. I mean, he destroyed the grain, he destroyed the vineyards. I mean, it's really...
In verse 1, in the time of wheat harvest.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is, everything's getting ready to be harvested, and he's mm-hmm. just ruined it all.
Both the standing one, the uh-huh. already harvested, mm-hmm. and the ones they haven't harvested, mm-hmm. and anything in that area, because they would have the vineyards and the olives all in that
right.
In the
all
same
be
area.
Nearby, yeah.
And you can imagine what this looks like with the animals down low. You can't see them, and they're going mm-hmm. through, and everything just going up everywhere.
Catching fire, yeah.
And so how many?
What a mess maker.
Yeah.
How many? 300 foxes? 300. So that's 150 fires scattering all the directions. Now, and he said, well, how did he catch a fox? I mean, doesn't it take a bunch of hounds and horses to catch one fox, maybe?
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, these were probably really jackals, not foxes.
Yeah, see.
You got a prop?
Prop, yes.
Ah.
Okay, so it's not this little fox that's a loner and hard to hunt down.
Yeah, jackals are more pack animals, and so,
yeah, so this,
it's easier to catch.
The Hebrew word here is probably jackals, which were much more common, and they're pack animals.
Yeah.
Still, it's an enormous task to get 300 of them, but at least you can
put the torches in the tails.
Did he have cages? Did he have help? How did this work?
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of questions there.
Yes. Samson seems to be kind of a loner, so I don't think he had help. but and how
it's
many?
Quite a feat, too. Though.
Yes, yeah. And cruel too. I mean, the terror of these animals, these jackals, with fire there, and of course, tying two together, they're not going to run back to their hole. Cause they don't. I mean, they're just fighting each other.
They're panicking and everything
yes.
else.
So. Samson gets his revenge.
Yeah.
But what a deal.
Yeah, it just really paints a picture of him mm-hmm. as a real reckless individual. He doesn't care about people, property, animals, anything. Mm-hmm. He wants what he wants. He gets mad. He just does what he does, you know.
And somehow God's purpose
and
gets
God
done.
And God uses that.
Yes.
Yeah. God uses that. Yeah.
So the Philistines ask, "Who has done this?" And somebody must have seen this.
Yeah.
And they answer, Samson.
Probably farmers.
The son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. Oh, this thing's known.
Well, when they did these weddings and things, mm-hmm. these were like big events. They were like a community event.
Right.
Right? And so they would know about Samson, but then they would also know about her actually mm-hmm. marrying the best man, because these were community events.
So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. What was the irony in the wife's fate?
Well, it's interesting because you got a lot of fire here. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was threatened to be burned by when she didn't get the answer of Samson's mm-hmm. riddle. You've got Samson using fire to burn down the crops, and then you've got fire being used to punish Samson's almost wife here. So
yes,
fire all over the place.
So she thinks she's getting away from being
and
burned
she didn't get
up
away from anything.
But yeah,
yeah.
So that didn't turn out well.
Of course, you got deception on deception there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samson's riddle wasn't fair. Them going to her to get the answer from her wasn't right. Her mm-hmm. basically manipulating him to get it. None of it was right. I mean, this thing is all a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
there's room up here if you like.
Oh, I thought they were sitting there.
No, there's nobody. And Patrick isn't here today. And Samson, as we might expect, says, "Since you would do such a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you. After that, I will cease." So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. So we don't have a lot of details, but apparently a big slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
People guess what hip and thigh means, but really it's just from the context. And the context says big, you know, gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the question here is, how easy is it to quit revenge? Because he says, "I'm going to take revenge and then cease." We're in verse 7.
Yeah. It's hard because revenge is a consuming thing. And so it's easier to stop it before you start going down that road. But once you've gone down that road already, it's really hard to mm-hmm. stop. It's really hard to stop.
And, yeah, he thinks he's done, but the Philistines are not done.
See, that's the problem with this thing is you've got one side feeding it, then he responds back, then they come back with something, he comes back with something, and so this is constantly being fed. So it's a fire that keeps being fed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is coming over here on the freeway. There, I saw a fire. It's not a good thing, but it's interesting that we're talking about fire, and mm-hmm. unfortunately. That building or whatever, but just
so the Philistines went up, verse 9, and camped in Judah. Remember, I said mm-hmm. Dan and Judah are next mm-hmm. to each other, and so Samson in both areas and in the Philistine area. And so the Philistines encamped, that is, they're going to fight and against Judah in a place called Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" Why would they say that? Because they've accepted the dominion, mm-hmm. and they're not trying to fight.
Right.
So now, why are you coming up against us? And they answered, "We have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. The implication is we're going to beat you guys up if you don't hand Samson over. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So, question number 5. Why did Judah call up 3,000 men? Was it to fight the Philistines finally?
No.
Samson could probably take 300 himself.
Well, this is 3,000. Yeah. And yep, because they have 3,000 to go up against Samson. But they're hoping Samson doesn't really want to fight them.
Yeah.
But
just in case he does, we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so sad here too, because you have Judah basically acting out of the people that are imposing them to go and strike out against their judge.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is so wrong.
The Philistines are saying, "These stupid Hebrews, they're going to capture him for us."
Yeah. And then it's like, and they even say here, "Hey, these guys that are ruling over us, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be ruling over us. They're ruling over us, and so we're going to do what they want." I mean, the whole thing is wrong.
Mess on top of mess.
Yes, it is.
So the very first opening of the of this book in of Judges, it's on the back in the far lower right corner. "Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?' And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand.'"
Yeah. So now it should read that Judah has given themselves up into the hands of others, and they're saying, "We will be the first to go up against our judge."
Yes.
How times have changed.
This is a couple hundred years later, but yeah, the times have changed, and now they're not fighting the Philistines, the enemy.
They're in league with them.
They're in league. Yes. Okay. So, verse 13, "They spoke to him, saying," spoke to Samson, "'No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you.' And they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him." Then the spirit, as I said, you know, the stupid Hebrews have sent to work for us. Okay. "Then the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, teeth still intact, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still bloody. Reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it." Wow. How well did the shouting work?
Not well.
Not well. The Philistines shouted, yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
When the Hebrews shout, things happen, though.
Yes.
The Lord's behind them.
So what did Israel learn?
Don't mess with Samson.
Well, yeah. What else? The enemy shouts, but God will win.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we'll see later when we get into the book of Samuel with this whole thing about shouting and people being intimidated, you know, because it was like a feeling of like, okay, they're shouting because, oh, you know, their God is powerful. Their God is with them and everything. And so here, they're shouting and it didn't do anything.
What else did Israel learn?
Right,
we're on the wrong side. There's hope. We have accepted domination, but God is with us.
And in that moment, as reckless and crazy as this is, God's agenda is starting to happen.
Yes. So how well they learned it, we don't know, but they must have gotten the lesson, because Samson will be, you know, their judge, their leader for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
So imagine the humiliation. The last thing you see in your life is his jawbone, the few remaining teeth on it, smashing into your skull. And he takes out 1,000. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, one man can slay 1,000.
See, and the other thing, too, is this is the second time that this is mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
Each time, his life is in danger.
Second time, what is mentioned?
His spirit coming on him. It's mentioned that. It's mentioned.
Well, it is mentioned also when he went to slay the 30 men for the clothing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But not when he got the foxes or the jackals.
There it doesn't.
But
it doesn't say.
No, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
But remember, the Spirit of the Lord has been with him. Mm-hmm. This is like when it says Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. answers the Sanhedrin. Does that mean the other times he didn't have the Holy Spirit? No, I mean, the Holy Spirit's always with Samson, but just in a special way it comes upon him to do this jawbone thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he didn't have the Spirit of God other times, but none of these times is this the way God might have done things. We have a very odd man who's very strong physically, but very weak morally.
Yeah, but here again, he's... Like I said last week, he's like a wrecking ball. He just kind of comes through this thing that Israel has built with the Philistines, and he's just slamming up against it. But again, that's the goal here, is to disrupt this union, and he is definitely a disruptive force. Mm.
Verse 16.
So sort of being used.
Exactly.
As a weapon, almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That makes a little more sense why God would allow him to do such heinous things all the time.
Yeah. It's like... I was watwatching the other day. I was watching the one of the Marvel movies, The Hulk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part at the end of the movie when they're going to basically try to get the guy to become the Hulk because they need the Hulk to take care of a situation. And they say, you know, what if you can't control it? He says, well, if I can just direct it. And it's like here's Samson, who is like this uncontrollable force. Mm-hmm. And it's like God's going, okay, I'm just going to point you in this direction and let you just rip it apart.
Mm-hmm. Or he might say, don't get me mad. You don't want to get me mad.
You don't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah. Verse 16, I'm on the back page if you're following this list. Samson gets poetic. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, and with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Well, it kind of works in English, but it works even better in Hebrew because the word for donkey and heaps are pretty almost the same mm-hmm. thing. So it's kind of a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So different translators try to deal with it differently.
Those men had no weapons, I take it.
The Philistines, they were famous for weapons. They're coming in from Greece. Or Mycenaean Empire, and they've come in. They are the superior people with superior in their minds philosophies and religion and weaponry and military prowess, and they've conquered and they've settled this land, and they've all got swords, and Samson has nothing, and he just picks up a bone.
Yeah. What,
how humiliating.
Yeah.
And this is God humiliating the enemy and teaching his people, I have control of this.
Yeah, you know,
be on my side.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, too,
is
something
amazing.
You said earlier that for this to happen to them, it's like, well, where is your God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with your great numbers and your armament, you still couldn't stop one guy. What's to say mm-hmm. about your God?
So it was when he had finished speaking, then he threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi, that is, Jawbone Hill. Would you like to have a property in Jawbone Heights?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
I might have to think about that one.
Then he became very thirsty, and he cried out to the... Now, sometimes you have a great victory, and then God provides a little weakness in there to, you know...
Yeah.
Because this was, I have done this. Now he cries out to the Lord. You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now this is sounding good. Mm-hmm. You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? It is, the Philistines. So God split the hollow place, which, that is, in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and it revived. Therefore he called its name En-Hakor, that is, spring of the collar, which is in Lehi to this day. What do you think of his prayer?
Well, I like this prayer because it's the first time we read of him acknowledging God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's okay. Giving God the glory for the victory.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you might say he gets kind of whiny, but...
Yeah, well, yeah. And he asks God for help.
What have we learned about God? I'm on question number 7.
Merciful.
Yes. You cry out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's there.
God hears.
He's not going to let you perish.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, too, because it doesn't matter how you've been. If you cry out to him, he will hear you.
Mm-hmm. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So we just have these little things, apparently at the beginning, but he's going to be mm-hmm. judging for 20 years. What kind of leadership did Samson provide? Here we have to guess, but based on what we've been reading, what kind of leadership did Samson provide?
Well,
strong. In what way?
Seems like he was more of a military mind, not moral, like you say. So when leading an army of 1,000 men or something, I think that would be successful.
Yes, but did he lead 1,000 men? Did he lead any men?
He more did it through his actions. I mean, his actions showed things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it showed that, okay... you know, again, like, you know, what, you know, how did it benefit, the people, you know, when the Philistines were shouting, how did it benefit? It didn't benefit them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's things that he did to kind of show people, hey, you know, he's messing with this alliance that we're not supposed to be in. Hey, you know what? These people that are oppressing us, they're not all that. Their God is not powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these things that he's showing them through demonstration in terms of him organizing people.
Demonstration and example.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not leading by gathering people and instructing them. He's leading by his actions.
By looking like he's the chosen one.
Yes. Whether that changed or not, I don't know. I'm imagining that this uneasy alliance continued for 20 years, that Israel's Judah, they're all, what do we do with Samson? Did he settle down and have a wife, family?
Well, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Well, we really don't. In 20 years, did he do any training? Did he do any moral improvement? We don't know. But based on this representative thing here, I would say that Israel learned by these examples that we don't have to be under the dominion of Philistines. They are not all powerful. We don't need to look up to them. Our God is strong. We can resist. And I would imagine that Samson came to their aid many times in that 20 years.
Yeah.
And the Philistines knew that, and the Philistines didn't just try to run over all of Israel because Samson would be there.
Right. You know, I think about that verse that runs through this book, that there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, here you see, like, for example, you have the people of Judah turning Samson over to the people that are oppressing them. We have people doing things that are right in their own eyes, that this is not just a commentary on Samson. It's a commentary on the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a mess right now.
It is
a mess.
This whole book has been a mess.
Yes.
With a few highlights.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, the high point was Deborah. She was a leader and a prophetess, and people came to her.
Right.
And that's about the last time we see an accepted prophet.
Yes. They do a descent after that. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, if you have a mess and people are accepting the mess, sometimes things have to get really kicked up before people go, you know what? Mm-hmm. Something's wrong here. Maybe we should do something.
Yeah, it seems like when they were given up and ready to just roll over for the Philistines, God showed them that one man could change everything.
The last question here, how was God's purpose achieved? We've been talking about that throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we can learn the lesson that just because the Spirit of God is upon you, or you are a Sunday school teacher, choir member, pastor, evangelist, successful businessman, and God has been with you, doesn't mean He has approves of everything you do, or that you have all of your theology correct, mm-hmm. or that you can just get away with things. Because Samson, he's handling dead bodies. He's getting involved with Philistine women. He's taking vengeance. All these things. And he starts thinking, I'm too big to fail. And as we'll see in the next chapter, he doesn't really take this whole thing with Delilah seriously, and he will fail. But he doesn't think so, because I've gotten away with all this, and God still has me strong.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about this is God will take things that we do and use them for His purposes. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, that doesn't mean that we can run out and just do whatever we want either. You know, there's a fine line there, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he deserves to drink from the Lord.
No. But the Lord honors his faith.
Yeah.
His faithfulness, pretty weak, but his faith in God is there. Mm-hmm. And God honors that. One last thing, a little preview about Philistine. This is the beginning of getting rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see more with David and Solomon,
mm-hmm.
Victories over them. But they do not get rid of the Philistines. They just stop them from being a force in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But the five cities of the Philistines are still there.
Mm-hmm.
They still hold the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't go away. In fact, the later prophets are still talking about them. The last of the prophets are still talking about mm-hmm. the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the Philistines will last some 600 years until Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
That's it for today. Next week we'll be into the last chapter concerning Samson, and this will be his downfall and final victory. Thank you, Father, for the story of Samson. Help us to learn from it so that these are not just pages in the book, but they are living in our life. Bless the service following, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.